amen and amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. They got the campus looking pretty good. Blake and him and his grounds crews guys and Cameron and George and Reed and I don't know who all was out there. You might see Blake sitting there with his toboggan cap on, but he said he don't want to take it off because his hair is all a mess. So, but thank God for these guys that, he said it's really cold out there too, but thank God for these guys that's willing to get out and put the sand and the stuff down that melts all everything. And they're doing the best job they can with it continuing to come down. It makes it a little difficult, but they're doing the best job they can. I appreciate that. Appreciate all of the people that are involved, our parking lot attendants that get out there in the rain and the cold, and we need to be thankful for that. I know that many of you know that it was on our websites and my personal page and about Dr. Fred Price went on to be with the Lord. Let's continue to pray for Crenshaw Christian Center and the Price family. Amen. I don't know if you saw my page. I met Fred in 1972 when Craig was, 3 years old, and Lynette and me and Craig and was crusade directors for Dad, and we went to that little bitty church on West Washington Street in 1972, and we've been friends with the Price family ever since, and I pray for them. We were in touch with Angela most of the time, and she's giving us reports, and we were all praying together, and so thank the Lord. I guess him and Dad are probably dancing around up there on the streets of gold. So, praise the Lord. All right. Have you ever noticed that people often accept things and react and say things without really checking the source? You know, how many of you ever seen a puppet show? Well, you know that actually there is someone that's unseen that's manipulating and voicing for the puppet. In real life, many times unseen forces influence or manipulate us, and it even happens with Christian people. And I got a strange title. It's called Don't Be the Devil's Puppet. But we need to take an honest look at what is influencing us in our thinking and our saying and our doing. And you say, well, what all has this got to do with us as a Christian? Well, hey, look here in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. You know, because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we shouldn't act like the world. And we don't have to respond the way the world does to different situations. It's sad when you see Christians acting like the world. Now, somebody said, well, what? Oh, no. Well, let's go look at Luke 9. Luke 9, and this may give you the idea of where I'm coming from today. Luke 9, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he had steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you're of. You know, I want to look at that phrase. You do not know what manner of spirit you're of. Now, the Evangelistic Heritage Version says, you don't know what kind of spirit is influencing you. The World English Bible says, stop that. You do not think about what kind of spirit you are showing. Now here, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. I like that. The Evangelistic Heritage says, you don't know the spirit that's influencing you. You see, Jesus is speaking of the motivating force that was influencing James and John to say, hey, man, let's destroy these people. But, hey, that's not what John 10:10 says. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, whenever anybody, and I say this all the time, but it bears witness because people need to get a hold of it. When somebody asks Dad, or if I would go to him and say, you know, some kind of situation is going on, I'd say, Dad, what are we going to do? And he'd say, what does the word say, son? What does the word say, son? And I know that those that I see in this congregation that travel with him on the road, they're shaking their head because that's what he always said. If you ask him, what are we going to do? He said, well, what does the Bible say? Okay. Now, you know, when we compare what the disciples said to what the word says, we can see here that they were not being motivated by the Spirit of God. Y'all are awful quiet out there. I'm preaching better than your amen. But I like that because I got you thinking, well, what in the world is he talking about? You know, in the world, people and situations are continually influenced by unseen spiritual forces. And it doesn't exempt us as Christians either. Because he can get into our mind and then he can cause us to start thinking and saying things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Come on now. You know it happens. See, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. Little g. How did he get in control? He got in control when Adam did what he did in the Garden of Eden. And he is influencing everybody and everything that he can against God. He's been influencing people from the Garden of Eden to the present day. Now, here's where we come into play. We can choose who we allow or what we allow to influence our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. Come on. Did you know you can still be a Christian and be influenced by something that you saw on TV and begin to talk about it when actually it's actually not in line with God's word? It actually causes you to get into unbelief, really. Come on. You know, I've said this before, but I say it again. One time a man came up to my dad and said, Brother Hagin, would you please pray for me that I won't have no more trouble with the devil? And many of you thought you know Dad, but you really don't know him if you wasn't around him. He could be very, very straightforward and very blunt sometimes. And he'd look at you with those steel blue eyes of his, and he would look you straight in the eye, and like he did this man. I remember this. And he looked this man straight in the eye, and he said, you want me to pray that you'll die? Just about with that tone of voice. Because when people would say stuff like that, it would irritate him because he's been teaching them about standing against the devil, and now here's somebody, you know, and so he could get irritated. Some people think he never got irritated, but he could get irritated, especially when people went against the word. That bothered him more than anything else is when people, he's been there teaching them, and now they come up and they're not even talking against it. And so the man said, no, I don't want to die. Then Dad said, as long as you live in this world, you're going to have trouble with the devil. Because Jesus even said that there in the last part of John. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But in me, you have victory. I sort of paraphrased it the way I wanted to say it. Now, what we've got to learn to do is to resist the things that come into our mind that try to manipulate us and change our thinking and even change our talking. The first thing that the devil uses to come in against us, and many people are falling prey to it, is fear. Fear. The spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know it, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and sound mind. So we know that fear is not of God. But in today's world, you see many people yielding to fear, many Christians, because of what's happening around them. They're being influenced by what's happening around them and by what this person is saying and that person is saying and somebody else is saying, and they don't know what the future holds. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you think's going to happen? I said, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm really not that concerned about it because I know what the Word of God says. See, there's where you if you're not careful, you can do that. You know, people respond to the news in different ways. Many Christians are responding in fear to what they hear on the news. You know, you might need to just turn it off. In fact, my wife will tell you, I haven't watched the news in at least 2 months, maybe longer. Why? Number one, because I know a little bit more than some people do because of working in security in the Army. Number two, it's all a bunch of lies in the first place. And it makes me upset. And I just say, forget it. Somebody said, well, aren't you concerned what's going to happen? Not really, because I know whatever happens, God has got my back. If he could take care of those children of Israel coming out of Egypt and give them food when they needed food and water when they needed water and protection when they needed protection, if he did it for his children back then, he can do it for his children today. I'm not going to be the devil's puppet and get influenced by what the world says. See, yielding to the spirit of fear will make you the devil's puppet. You'll be jumping and moving however he manipulates. Fear causes people to stay in a false sense of security. Some people yield to the spirit of fear without even realizing. Fear comes in and they act accordingly. Now, some people going to stop right here and they're going to take it way over here to the extreme. No, you better act accordingly when you walk out there on that slick pavement out there. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. So don't go there. You ever notice that somebody preaching, people go off over here, or they go off over here when they need to stay with the truth in the middle? That's what my dad used to say all the time. He said, people are so funny. Christian people are so funny. He said, they either swing way over here or they swing way over there instead of staying down the middle of the road where we're in the truth. And I see Doug Jones shaking his head back there. Doug traveled with him, lived at his house. You know, fear causes you to act in a way that's contrary to the Word of God. You know, fear comes in and grips you and causes you not to even think about walking in the promises of God. We need to wake up and realize that the enemy wants to manipulate us, even as Christians. Remember, when he tempted Jesus, he came in with scripture. You see, I expect my God to take care of me, and I am not going to yield to a spirit of fear. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, hey, look what Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 4:35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was, and other little boats with him also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now listen to this. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" See, he told them, "Let's go to the other side." Now fear took over their minds, and now they are reacting not to what the master said, but they're reacting to what they're seeing and feeling. And that is, they're seeing the wind and the waves, and they're feeling like they're going to be destroyed. So when fear took hold, they forgot what Jesus said. When fear comes in and takes hold, and the devil begins to manipulate your mind, and fear takes hold, all of a sudden you begin to think, "I'm not going to make it." Just like they did. They began to think, "Oh, we're not going to reach. It's impossible for us to get to the other side. We're going under." Hey, listen. If you know what God said, you can't go under for going over. I don't care what it looks like, smells like, feels like, or whatever. All right? Anybody getting anything out of this? I think that probably fear is one of the devil's major controls, especially with Christians. He comes in and begins to bombard their mind. See, the devil is going to come to you through the ear gate and the eye gate and bombard your mind with fear. What you hear, what you see. And this causes you then to draw back from what God said in his word. You got to come to the point, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. I don't care what this guy says, or I don't care what this person says. I don't care what anybody else says. What does God say?" There's where it comes back to. You know, we need to resist. When James said over there is to resist the devil and he'll flee from you, the devil comes in many, many different ways to us, to manipulate us, to control us, to make us say and act in a way that's not in line with the word of God. You know, quoting the promises of God in his word keeps you out of the spirit of fear. You know, many people think, "Well, y'all don't ever know." Yeah, hey, you should have been with me September 2003, and actually October. Dad had just gone. The enemy comes to me and said, "Hey, you're not even qualified. And some people wrote us letters and said, "Well, now Brother Hagin's gone, we're going to support somebody else." And the devil will bombard my mind. What he's taken all these years to build, you're going to take it under. It's going under. You're not going to make it. How did I deal with all that? See, you're not the only one that the devil comes and deals with. He comes to all of us. I don't care who they are. I don't care who you see on teaching on TV. He comes to them too. How did I deal with it? First of all, I recognized that it was the enemy trying to destroy. Secondly, I knew what to do. I'd been taught by him, so I began to, I already was living by it, but I knew what to do. I began to say, hey, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I began to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. If God's for me, who can be against me? I may walk through the valley, but I'm going to come out on the other side. The problem is that many people, then the enemy begins to bombard them, and instead of continuing to quote the word and walk on through, they set up pitch tent and set up camp in the middle of the valley. Get out of the valley. How do you get out? By quoting the word of God and walking on through. Walk over every obstacle. Walk over everything that comes that would try to manipulate you and cause you. I confess those scriptures over and over and over and over again, and I still confess them every day today. I would add on to the end of that. I will get wisdom. If I don't know how to do something, God will give me the wisdom to do it. You see, you've got to learn to resist all of the devil's manipulations that he comes to you. How does he come to you? With different situations, with different circumstances, with different things to try to get you to begin to think and talk differently than what the word says. You can choose to allow fear to manipulate you, or you can choose to exercise your faith and expect the promises of God to become a reality in your life. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. Not up to a prayer group. It's not up to a preacher. It's not up to anybody else but you. You control what happens in your life. You control what comes out of your mouth. See, we have the same spirit of faith that Paul and David had. Paul is quoting what David said when he said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. But I want you to notice here. He said, I believe, and therefore I spoke. That's great. That's Paul. But wait a minute. He goes on and he said, we also believe and therefore speak. Now he's talking about us. We. That's who he's talking about. Here he's just quoting David. He said he had the same kind of faith David had. What kind of faith did David have? Well, he killed a bear. He killed a lion. He killed a giant. He defeated the Philistines. I mean, go read about him over there in Samuel. And Paul said he has that same spirit of faith. Where does that same spirit of faith come from? It comes from God himself. Why? So we can't become, won't become manipulated by the enemy. The enemy would try to manipulate David, and you would see that he would begin to say, woe is me, so to speak, as you read his Psalms. But then all of a sudden, you can see it changes. And then he begins to talk about who he is in Christ and what God can do for him and what Jehovah can do for him. Anybody ever notice that with David? See, he starts out like us. And then he said, oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong. I'm being manipulated by the wrong. And then he jumps around and begins to talk about his Jehovah God. See, the same spirit of faith that enabled Paul to do all he did. Go read there in 2 Corinthians. Go read about when he talks about all that. He said, I shouldn't be doing this, but let me tell you what happened to me. I'm going to paraphrase it. Let me tell you what happened to me. I've been beaten. I've been left for dead. And he went on and on and on. How was he able to do that? With that same spirit of faith. That's what's going to happen to you. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Now here he gives us some instructions. We not only believe, but we also speak. He said, we believe, but we speak. You know, if you want God to move for you, then you got to open your mouth and talk. Speak. You see, you know, you read there, Paul, he was there taken in by the Romans, and they were going to beat him with the whip and so forth and so on. And when he opened his mouth and said, I'm a Roman citizen, oh man, it changed everything. Just a snap of your finger. It changed it right there. It changed right there when he opened his mouth. That's what you got to do. When the devil begins to come in and flood your mind with different situations and you want to begin to say something, all you got to do is open your mouth. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. And all the power of heaven is behind me. What Paul was saying, I am a Roman citizen and I have the power of Rome behind me. You ever read that over there? See, open your mouth. Yeah, it's one thing to have faith in God, but it's another thing to believe it, speak it, and act on it. You see, your belief can't be in your bank account. It can't be in our military. It can't be in our government. It can't be in anything else. It has to be in God. I believe, therefore I speak. What do I speak? I speak what the Word says. Not what somebody else said. I get tickled all the time. I watch some of these people on TV, and they always say, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said. Every other word is Brother Hagin said. My dad, I was sitting with him one time there at his house, and he's in his recliner and laying back, and this person, we was watching the TV there, and this person kept saying, Brother Hagin said, hey, Brother Hagin said. And all of a sudden he just said, I didn't say it, the Bible did. He just said it out loud like that. I didn't say it, the Bible did. He said, why can't these people just say what the Bible said? All I'm doing is say what the Bible said. You see, we need to quit saying Brother so-and-so said and say what the Bible says. When you do, people do that because they think it's going to give it credibility. How much more credibility can you get than what God said? God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. That's just me, okay? You getting what I'm talking about this morning? Talking about how that the circumstances of life, the things of life come in on top of us and begin to manipulate us, and out of our mouth comes things, and then all of a sudden we say, wait a minute. What in the world am I saying? That's not in line with the Word. Now, I know you've never done that, but I have, so I'm... Anybody want to join me? Marty, you better join me. I know you. You didn't even raise your hand, and I know better because I've heard you. But then you changed it, just like I did. We all have done that. Why? Because without realizing it, the enemy comes in and begins to get in our thinking, and all of a sudden we speak before we... You know, it's like putting a car in gear before you look to see if anything's out there. and just jump out in front of somebody. We begin, and then we have to back up and say, wait a minute, that ain't right. That's against the word. That's what David did. You go read his Psalms. That's what David did it all the time that way. And God called him a man after his own heart. Come on now. Hey, you know, the problem with a lot of people is they wait till they get in a crisis before they ever start quoting the word. You need to start quoting the word when everything is going great. The same scriptures when everything's going great that you quote when you're in the middle of the storm. I do. Come on. Well, let me wrap this thing up. I don't know whether I helped anybody today or not. But we need to correctly discern what is influencing our thinking, our talking, and our action. Is it what we see on TV? If it is, then turn it off and start reading the Bible. God's not against us enjoying life. He's not against us watching TV. But if you're allowing it to manipulate how you think about things. And I don't know how many Christians have said, in fact, I look at Facebook, but I very seldom put anything on there. I very seldom say anything on there. But it's strange to me how some of these people are talking on there, and they're Christians. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true. They are not realizing that they're playing right into they're being a puppet and don't even realize it. Oh, I got some of you looking at me, starter, squint-eyed. Well, quit squint-eyeing and realize that it's the truth. The truth is the truth no matter what, okay? Determine you won't be influenced by a spirit of fear. You won't be influenced by circumstance and situations or what people are saying. Decide today that when Satan attacks, out of you comes the word. Out of your mouth comes the word. I say it this way. I am not going to be manipulated by fear. I'm not going to be manipulated by the news. I'm not going to be manipulated by any of this. I'm only going to be manipulated by what the Word of God says. In his book, Ever Increasing Faith, Wigglesworth says it. I'm going to paraphrase it the way I say it. He says, I'm not going to be moved by anything or anybody except by the faith in God's Word. That's the essence of what he says there. Anybody ever read his book there? Isn't that the essence of what he says? You know, decide today, this day, no longer will I live on Fear Street. I'm going to move on up to Faith Boulevard. See, it's the time for you to stop letting Satan manipulate you. It's time for you to decide and take the opportunity to say, God is my source, not my job, not my government, not anything. God is my source. He is, thank God for my job. I thank God for it. Thank God for all of these things, but that's not your source. This is your source. God's word right here. God's word talking to you. God's word telling you that you're healed. God's word telling you that you're protected. God's word telling you that no weapon formed against you. God's word telling you that you can live in peace. See, that's where it is right here. Not what somebody's saying. You know, it's up to you. I can talk to you about it, but it's up to you to make it happen. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments today to stir up their pure hearts, to begin to believe you and not allow the enemy to manipulate them through thoughts, through other circumstances and actions. I thank you, Lord, that as we move on today, that we will determine in our heart, nothing moves me. It's except you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody get anything out of what I said today? How many realize what I was trying to say to you? Even though we are Christians, the enemy comes. He is trying to destroy us. He's trying to kill us. Hallelujah. Well, bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate your life. Maybe you're in here today and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you're just not where you need to be. You need to rededicate your life. Or maybe you've never accepted him. Or maybe you're here today and you know you're born again, you're a Christian, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. See, around here we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says. Not church creed or doctrine, but what the Bible said. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here today, you can go away from here today filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody on any one of those invitations that I've just given, I want to pray with you and I'll pray for you. You need Christ, you need to rededicate, you need the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand anywhere in this place right now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody? Ushers, help me look, see if anybody. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and thank God. Thank God that we have the Word of God, that we can quote the Word. Nothing can move us. He will protect us. He'll keep us. You got something?
And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Hold on just a minute, man. Listen to that. The things of earth will grow strange and dim in the light of his glory and grace. Right? See, the more you look to him, the dimmer all of this stuff that comes in upon us, the dimmer it gets. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing that again. Think about that as you sing that and thank God for it.
And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look.
I determine right now not to let anything of this earth manipulate me away from the Word and the things of God. They belong to me because I'm his child, and they will come into fruition in my life. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for it right now. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. The Word of God. Praise the Lord. Well, connection team, go find those first-time guests. And would you please go with our connection team? We have a special little gift right out in the front lobby out there, and they want to give you this little gift. We appreciate you being here. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on and join our family. We have a great time around here serving the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Winter Bible Seminar starts. Amen. And if you want to help us get in the ministry of helps, somebody say, I want to get in the ministry. Well, go out there and get in the ministry of helps. If you'll notice, Paul lists the ministry of helps right along with the apostle and the prophet, the preacher, everybody else. Okay? Hey, be careful out there. We'll see you tonight. God, wait a minute. There's shuttles. We're running shuttles to take you to your cars. There's even a shuttle for you guys over in Student House across the street. There's even a shuttle for you so you don't have to walk across the street. Be careful. Watch out for somebody else. Lynette was saying something to me today, and I said, hey, I'm not as concerned about me because I know what I'm doing as I am that guy coming up behind me too fast right now. He's the one I'm concerned about, and he starts sliding, and he hits me, all right? Everybody, oh, be careful when you're walking out there. The guys have done the best job they can to try to make it as safe as possible. We'll see you tonight. God bless.